When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
A change again between now and the end of the regular season. But with just 2 weeks left, we have a more clear representation of what the football team's going to look like going into the postseason than we did in October or November. And they still look pretty damn good. The defense held Chicago to 17 points. It's a defense that has challenges as far as personnel. But 17 is certainly acceptable. Now, will better teams take them apart like Buffalo did? They might. But, you know, the job of the Detroit Lions defense is just get a few stops and just force field goals, and the offense will take care of business. And the offense looked great. And as we said, Jahmyr Gibbs is fully capable of being a star in this league. In fact, we expect him to, the opinion of him nationwide to change, because he's going to get opportunity. He's going to get opportunity.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs looks great. The offense looked very good yesterday, rolled up a ton of yards in the game. Unfortunately, settled for field goals instead of touchdowns on a few drives, but it's okay. Or a couple of drives, I should say. They just commanded the game, much like they did the first time they played Chicago when they got out to the 16-0 lead. It was an eerily similar game. That time, offensively dominant, and yet the score wasn't reflective of it necessarily because of field goals instead of touchdowns. But they did enough, and then they started putting the ball in the end zone, and they did things that fans want to see. Fans like to use the term, because they hear the media pundits say it every once in a while, take the top off the defense. I think what happened with Jared Goff throwing that pass to Jameson Williams, that looks exactly like taking the top off the defense.
That is a vintage
there it is.
Top being taken
yes.
off.
Yes, and that was a perfectly thrown deep ball. And I think we're more than a year into the, we just destroyed the narrative that Jared Goff can't throw deep. We're well weird. Past that. And there's another example. Hey, another perfect pass from Jared Goff throwing deep, this time hitting Jameson Williams in stride, which is what Lions fans have been clamoring for. And we've seen it several times this year, but that one was special. 82 yards was awesome. They were clicking, you know. Goff had time to throw. Receivers are obviously getting open. They took care of business. And on the defensive side of the ball, you know, for moment one, you knew that Ife Melifonwu was back on the field. And that was good to see. And
yep.
Kind of rearranging the defense a little bit with Ife and Kirby Joseph playing safety and Brian Branch working the slot corner, Amik Robinson slipping outside to the wide receiver corner spot. It was a different looking defense, and it was good enough. It was good enough. They held them to less than 20 points. I get that the Bears, you know, kind of pushed the envelope a little bit towards the end there, going for it in times that normally you wouldn't, but because of the situation, you got to do what you got to do. And hats off to the defense for being good enough to do their job, and the Lions offense certainly did theirs.
Yeah, and, you know, the creativity was there with the stumble rooski or whatever the hell they called that
stumble
play.
Stumble bum, yeah.
Stumble bum. It was awesome and funny, and I wonder, like, in the collective minds of all of us watching, how long before the thought crossed your mind, did they do that on purpose? Because when they snapped the ball, and I'm like, oh! And I said out loud, as Goff stood up in the pocket and looked like he's ready to deliver, I said, if they turn this into a touchdown, because I was thinking it was a near disaster.
Yeah.
And then upon further review, I was like, you know, I don't know if it was 15 seconds later when they started showing the replay. And that's weird that they both Did they? And of course they did.
I don't want to appear to be smarter than most. It's not my intention. But as soon as...
Nor is it rare. It's rarely
it's
your
role. Rarely true.
But you knew right away?
Not right away. Because the golf slip, I'm like, oh. But I saw he was fine. But it was Jahmyr Gibbs who went flopping. I'm like, okay. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And then the replays further confirmed that. But and, it was brilliant play.
And Goff, when you saw the slow motion replay from behind the other end zone, like all the way down the field, at field level, I'm like, wow, Goff really did a good job selling that.
I mean,
he really came damn close to falling without falling.
Did you guys hear what Ben Johnson wanted him to really do?
Yes.
My God. All right, Ben. I know you're a sicko, but geez, man. Do you think you could fumble it right back to yourself?
Like, what? You see the shape of a football, right?
Yes.
How strange it bounces, right? If you want that to happen, like get the perfect bounce, get a kicker to do it.
Yes.
Because the kickers spend all day not kicking at practice. They spend all day figuring out ways to bounce a football on the ground like it's a basketball and have it come right back to them. They are absolute wizards when it comes to ball handling. Kickers are. Kickers and punters. But that's a quarterback.
I'm glad Goff put the kibosh in it.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know about that there, Ben.
I'll just stumble. How's that? That'll work.
I can look like a drunken sailor and see how that works.
Yeah, for people who don't know, Goff told the story afterwards that, yes, Ben Johnson's idea was, why don't we try fumbling it intentionally? You pick it up and throw a touchdown. And they revamped the plan and went with the stumble. And God, it was great. But
when I talk to him tomorrow, and obviously we'll bring it up, I do want to ask about the other guys. Are they open too? Is that a place specifically set up only for LaPorta? Or is LaPorta just your number one read on that play? Because you've got St. Brown and Jameson Williams going out, and they have their backs to the play. They're just running the routes.
Yeah.
Because they don't know whether or not it's worked. But I assume that they're also looking back to see at some point, hey, am I getting the ball or not? But I wonder, was it just the person who's defending LaPorta that bit, or did everybody bite? And is this from the all 12 or the all 22 angle, the camera way up high, will it show that Jared Goff could have thrown a touchdown pass to three different receivers?
It very well might.
Because it's a brilliant call.
We asked the question on Friday's show, and we had the Twitter poll out there about whether or not the Lions win big, win a close one, or lose. And the win big crowd, 41.8%, finished second. The Lions win a close game, 50.9%. It just appears that they got their mojo back, which they probably never really lost. Okay, Buffalo's really, really good. It doesn't mean something's wrong with you when you lose to a really good team. Probably the thing that's most wrong, of course, is the abundance of injuries, but they're still piecing it together defensively. We'll get to your phone calls, your feedback. It's Carson Anderson on a Victory Monday following the Lions' win over the Chicago Bears. 248-539-9797. For those who don't know, Mondays mean champ and chump. Who should be singled out for having the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? We call it champ and chump of the weekend. We tally up your votes and post on the website on Tuesday who the people select as champ and chump of the weekend. So get your votes in. Let your voice be heard. 248-539-9797. We talk to you next. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, Merry Christmas, everybody. Lions, good performance again. There are still things that need to get better, and that's what we do here is we're holding up to a perfect standard. And look, Dan Campbell said it after the game. I got a smile a mile wide because he claimed on Tuesday when he came on the morning show last week, if we win by 1.3-2 and only have 70 yards offense, I'm going to be smiling from ear to ear. Ear to blank and ear. If we give up 700 yards but win by 1 point, you're going to see me with a smile on my face. And he got up on the podium yesterday and said, see, I'm smiling. And it's because it's all about getting the wins and got another one. And but I heard him use the term. Still stuff we need to clean up. And you're always trying to fix what ails you. So not perfect, but certainly more than good enough. Lions got a bit of their mojo back and things change. things change, and they change a lot in Philly. We'll get to that coming up. We go to Derek in Detroit. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Derek.
Hey, good morning.
What's
Thanks
up?
For taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple, well, a major issue, but it's about the offense and the defense. And the lack of credit that I feel Aaron Glenn is not getting for the job he's doing this year, okay? Now, is it true or not that we got about 7 or 8 potential Pro Bowlers on offense? I mean, what I mean by that is that Jared Goff has a lot of weapons, and everybody knows Johnson is using them all, and we're keeping everybody happy, so forth and so on. But Aaron Glenn, this year, started off with two or three of his best players on IR right away, okay? And no matter who comes in there, after losing Hutch and everybody else that they lost, he has held this defense to a high standard, mainly playing man-to-man, okay? So I'm just saying, I wish we'd give a little more credit to Aaron Glenn for what his part in what's going on with this fantastic team.
Derek, I can't speak for everybody everywhere. I know that we love talking about Aaron Glenn and think he's done a hell of a job.
It's unbelievable what he's done.
Yeah, and we've talked about it quite a bit, but like I said, I can't speak for everybody everywhere, but yeah,
we're big fans of what he's been able to accomplish with everybody being out. I mean, there was a whole, after last season, people wanted changes to the defense and let's see what they can do. They better be better, because of what happened in San Francisco. They revamped the entire secondary, and fortunately, knocking on wood, for the most part, that's been pretty healthy, but everything else has been a disaster. Losing the linebackers, losing the defensive linemen. It's been an unmitigated disaster, and yet he has held it all together, found a way to scheme it up, found a way to motivate the players and get these players playing the way that they do. And at times it's a bend but don't break, but bending and not breaking is brilliant. And other times it's just a dominant defensive effort. What we saw yesterday was, again, kind of piecemealing it together, and it worked. Caleb Williams is going to throw for 300 yards, and you're going to give the Lions some fits with your ability to scramble. Okay, that's fine. You're still only scoring 17 points, and we doubled you up.
Exactly.
Great job.
Thanks. I thank you for taking my call, though, because he's doing a lot with bubblegum and duct tape back there.
He is. And you know what? Unfortunately, he's probably not going to be with the Lions next season. Because
probably
I think,
not.
I mean, if I were another team and I had a job opening, Aaron Glenn, if I was looking for a defensive-minded coach, would be number one on my list because of what he has done with the Detroit Lions. Specifically what he's done this year. I mean, he's building his resume year after year. The Lions have gotten better and better defensively, but what he's done this year is absolutely incredible.
And don't discount the fact that, I mean, he's done a great job with the defense, like you guys mentioned, but the leader of men thing, like he's learning under Dan Campbell. And then even when Aaron Glenn takes the podium, I'm fired up. I'm like, you know what?
Yes.
I want to do more for him. I will suit up for you in the secondary if you need so. So the fact that, yes, he's good with the X and O's, he's playing with Jimmy and Joe's, but he can lead these guys, and that's huge.
I feel like if he told me my penmanship sucked, which it does, that I might have to go out and take a calligraphy course and just learn because I want to please him.
So, look, I said this when he first came in.
Maybe not all the way like that.
When he first came in, I made the point that he is a great listener in a press conference. Like, and that I've been fooled into the past thinking that means he's a great coach. So I want to be careful here, because a guy, really, you can tell knows what he's talking about at a press conference doesn't mean that it applies in practice and in the locker room and on the field that you really know what you're doing. He knows what he's doing. That's the best part of all this. He totally knows what he's doing.
He absolutely knows what he's doing.
248-539-9797. D in Detroit, you're next. Hi, D.
What's going on, DK, Kane, David? Merry Christmas, homies.
Merry
Same
Christmas.
Same to you, D.
Hey, bro, check this out, man. Me, my brother, my uncle, Cole, a whole bunch of family members, we're watching the game. Jared Goff dropped back. He slipped. Give slip. And I hear, fumble, fumble, fumble. And I'm like, man, how did two players slip on one play? My brother yelled, bro, that's not a fumble. That's a fake fumble play. I'm like, what? And they showed a replay, and I'm like, Ben Johnson. Fellas, watch how many teams use that play in the future, man, because it was just worked to perfection, bro. And when you heard the defense yell, fumble, they all looking for the ball, including the secondary. And I'm saying, oh, man, that was a sneak, fake fumble. Hats off to Ben Johnson, bro.
It was a hell of a play. D, it was a hell of a play. They executed to perfection. And on the sideline, when they were laughing about it afterwards, I mean, that's one of those things I remember like hearing coaches talk about. Trick plays get people enthused. Like, the fans love them. The players love them, too.
Who was the quarterback at Michigan State that did that the one year? Was it Cousins?
I think it was Cousins, where he kind of like put the ball it, down and shook it on the ground.
Yeah, it was the same thing. It was a fake and then rolled to his. It was a hell of a lot closer to the end zone, and they end up getting a touchdown on that one as well. But, yeah, that play is great.
Great play. And, fellas, one more thing, man. Minnesota is a fraud. I know I'm going out of the limb saying this, bro, even though they got a damn good record on our heels. But, bro, if you watch all the Minnesota games, bro, they never come out. They never come out and dominate nobody. They always let you make turnovers, or they always let you make the mistakes, and they get back in the game. If you watch all of their comeback victories, bro, they never come out the gate and dominate you. Therefore, I say they're a fraud, bro, and we're going to kick their ass. Love the show, man. Touch it, bro.
I'm gonna stop short of saying that they're a fraud, okay? I think that's a bit of an overstatement. They're finding ways to win games. And, look, we've talked about the Lions' margin of victory being on track to be one of the highest in the last couple of decades. But it doesn't mean everything when it's all said and done. I'd have to go back and find the research. But it was the Lions' margin of victory was average margin of victory, something like 18 points. And when you compare that to the last couple of decades, there were four other teams, an Eagles team, a 49ers team, two Patriot teams that had similar margins of victory that were winning as much as the Lions did and had similar margins of victory. And only one of those teams won a Super Bowl. That's the scary part, is that all this regular season blowout success doesn't correlate directly into Super Bowls. And so, you know, there's still work to be done. There's still a lot of work to be done. And that's why I won't call Minnesota a fraud. Because the bottom line, the name of the game is winning. And they keep finding a way to win. And the margin of victory doesn't matter as much as I wish it did. Because if it did, Lions would have a very strong resume, according to the playoff committee.
Yes, they would. They've been very good when it comes to the margin of victory. When you look at how many points this team has scored and the point differential, it's plus 194. Is that good?
Yep.
Number two in the league, Buffalo, at plus 138.
Yeah.
So it's more than 50 points better. That's amazing what they've done.
So it's 15 points a game. And they're undefeated on the road. Like, the Lions have gone into every stadium they've played in. First of all, the Lions go in, then the fans come in and invade stadiums, and the Lions just take your soul. we always talk about this because it truly is so different than it used to be. It doesn't feel like that long ago we were talking about the whatever. I don't even remember how long the losing streak was on the road. It's like 20-something games in a row. And now they just keep winning on the road.
And convincingly.
They walk in your building and everybody's hands go up. Does anybody get it?
And then they come down.
No, yeah. And then they stay there. All they do is win, win, win. It's the next line. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Your kids are very embarrassed right now, Doug.
You know, that's 30% of good dadding is embarrassing your kids. Yeah, I think so.
Well, you've hit it.
Hit my quota for the day.
Look, the year's not even done. Way to go, Doug.
Champ and Chump, get your votes in. We'll have ours today at 10:35. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, it's great to see our teams in the D back to their winning ways. It's just like the team over at Sarah Chevrolet Southfield. Sarah Chevrolet is making sure that the customers win on every deal. And the deals of Sarah Chevrolet Southfield, they're unbeatable. You start with the Equinox EV. It's only $114 a month. The Blazer EV all-wheel drive, that's only $222 a month. And the Chevy Blazer is only $294 a month. Now, all these unbeatable payments are with just $999 down. That's taxes and fees included. because there's no games and no gimmicks, just great winning deals for the customers at Sarah Chevrolet Southfield. If you need more money for your trade-in, Sarah Chevrolet Southfield has you covered. They treat trade-ins like a highly sought-after free agent. Big money. That's right, huge money for your trade. Up to $2,000 more. And if you're paying too much for service only to feel like you're left in the cheap seats, well, Sarah Chevrolet Southfield will have you feeling like you're sitting on a 50-yard line because service is open every Saturday. Free loaner vehicles are available. No appointments necessary. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield will get you in and out quickly. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield at 696 and Telegraph. SarahChevrolet.com. Together, let's drive.
Dan Campbell following the Lions win over the Chicago Bears to improve on the season to 13-2. Still hanging on to that one seed. And we do need to talk about what happened in Philly because, you know, them losing to the Commanders wasn't a total surprise. We talked about it a little bit last week that that was a tough game on the road and the Commanders found a way to come back. But also Jalen Hurts gets hurt. Saquon Barkley, I think Dan Orlovsky had the stat, had five negative rushes in the game. The Commanders' defensive line gave Philly problems. Look, we see our own warts and we see what's going wrong here. And things change. They're not perfect elsewhere. Who knows what the story with Hurts is? You know, it's a concussion. It feels like those things are somewhat vague as to term as far as their long-term prognosis. He's probably going to be okay. And certainly we don't wish injury upon anybody.
Absolutely not.
But it's just a reminder that stuff that has ailed us ails others. And now Philly is on the brink of being eliminated. Like the scenarios for Philly to get the one seed are pretty grim for them. One Lions win and Philly's done. So, you know, this weekend, Lions can clinch number one. They got to beat San Francisco. And if Green Bay beats Minnesota, Lions are the one seed.
Damn Vikings are still there.
They are.
They won't go away.
They won't go away. A man wanted to call him a fraud. I'm not going to go there because it's just all about winning. And
I'm like, Seattle, you got this, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't got it.
Nope.
Thought they had it. They don't. Vikings with them went 27-24. They are pesky.
Those MFers don't lose, man.
They don't. And they were without some players yesterday, too, but they took care of business. That offense is so good. The weapons that he has, anyway, that Darnold has to work with. I don't think Darnold's good, but the rest of the team.
We know how you feel about Darnold.
Yeah, I don't like Darnold.
Doug, I'm with you. I'm not going to call him a fraud or anything either, but let's be honest. Do they give you guys some kind of the same type of vibes that Minnesota team had a couple years ago where they're winning every game by one score and then they end up getting bounced at home by the Giants? Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to disrespect them, but also, when does this luck run out or whatever you want to call it? They can't keep winning every game like this.
No, one would imagine, and look, I'd rather be Detroit than Minnesota. Let me be clear about that. I think we're in a really, really good spot. But Minnesota, I will not look. I think it'd be foolish to look past them. 248-539-9797.
But it would be nice if Green Bay took care of business.
So that's a one-point spread. Minnesota's a one-point favorite.
At home. Minnesota's playing at home.
Yep. And Detroit.
Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Yep. Detroit in the Monday night game is a 3.5-point favorite against San Francisco. On paper, like San Francisco in a lot of ways scares me, even though they're depleted. But what I absolutely love is I think the Lions take care of business because of last year's NFC title game. I think that team, you think about what they did to Dallas.
There's such a chip on their shoulder.
Oh, my God. And they're really good at cultivating that stuff. I don't think you can cultivate it forever, but I think in your first real true ascent and they haven't gotten to the mountaintop yet, I think cultivating that stuff is something that is really authentic and it doesn't need to be manufactured. I like their chances Monday. I just think I think San Francisco is going to see the best version of the Lions.
Yeah, I like their chances on Monday as well. Miami just ran for 166 yards against San Francisco's defense, so that makes me feel good because it's going to be one of these games. Lions get to 30 quickly, then it's done. But Brock Purdy is a problem. It's not that I don't think he's a great quarterback, mm-hmm. but what he does better than most is he buys himself some time. That guy is a scrambling machine, and that can be very frustrating. Lions went through a little bit of that yesterday with Caleb Williams. Brock Purdy finds himself in and out of trouble. It's amazing. If you watched any of that game against Miami yesterday, it was incredible to see him free himself. He threw for over 300 yards in the game, but not enough. They lost to Miami by double digits, and I look forward to that Monday night game as well. And also good to know that it is Monday night, so the Lions get that extra day of rest.
Yep.
Which is big, but they also lose that day of rest when you fear it because you finish the season against Minnesota.
But the good news is if everything goes right,
then it doesn't matter.
Then it won't matter because if they want to rest people, they can. Still work to be done to get to that result, though.
Yes.
248-539-9797. Back to your phone calls in a moment. Champ and Chump. Champ and Chump at a weekend. We do this every Monday. Who should be singled out for having the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? And Gator, I will start. My champ of the weekend is Jahmyr Gibbs. 23 carries, 109 yards. He was just, it was 4.7 yards a rush, and it felt like that was one of the more authentic 4.7 yards per carry. He was always getting 4, 5, 6 yards. Great performance by Jahmyr Gibbs when the plays were well blocked, when the plays were unblocked. He also added 4 catches for 45 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs, my champ of the weekend.
He was great. I'm going to go with somebody else who was on the sidelines, though not a player, not a coach, not a member of the staff. If you saw this story in the Free Press, Jeff Seidel had written, it's amazing. Ben Roth, who by the story is a longtime Lions fan who happens to be a paramedic from Frisco, Texas. He's a season ticket holder. And he decided he was going to take his 6-year-old daughter to go see a game in Chicago. They had tickets, got up to the game, and they were just talking to some fans in the stands. Saw somebody who was a Texas fan of some kind, North Texas,
yeah.
And his wife is a coach there at the swim and diving team. So he goes over, talks to the guy. The guy who was there with the shirt ends up saying, "Hey, I got a couple extra field passes if you want them." He's like, "Sure." So he goes down to the field, and while he's down the field, a few seconds later, he hears this thump, looks over to his right, and somebody just collapsed, fell to the ground. This guy, being a paramedic, gets right to the action, realizes this guy's going into cardiac arrest, immediately starts calling for the defibrillator, the portable defibrillator to come out, the AED. They bring that out. They save the guy's life. Long story short, but it's a fantastic story. If you haven't read it, go to the Free Press and read it. Fantastic story. This guy saves his life on the sideline just by 7 degrees of crazy separation that he's there. It's an amazing story, and it has a really happy ending.
It's like Dante from Clerks. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Right, which it's sad. You're not supposed to be here.
My jump on the weekend is the college football talking heads that are bitching about the blowouts. This is nothing new. In the last decade in the college football playoff, do you know what the average margin of victory was in the semifinal round? 21 points. The blowouts in the college football playoff, nothing new. People are freaking out about this system, saying the committee blew it, when honestly, there's no system that's perfect that can account for every scenario. And people are acting like the system's the problem. You know what we're discovering? If you're going to really come out, it's quite possible that the playoff is now officially too big. But instead of acknowledging that maybe there's teams are being let in that don't belong in, people are complaining about this, about the committee and the seedings, and it's mostly voices from the SEC. Let's call it what it is. But people should know better. And it's year one. Does this mean all the first round matchups are always going to be blowouts? No. I hate the instant judging of things when we barely even seen it and they're already calling it a disaster.
Well, Doug, I echo your sentiments. My chump of the week are those that are complaining about the college football playoff. They got it right. And I'm sorry that you didn't get upsets in the first round, but you weren't supposed to. Okay? These are top 10 teams that didn't win the conference championship. So they're still top 10 teams and they get to play games on their home turf and defend the home turf.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big advantage. And if you looked at the point spreads in some of these games, they were bigger point spreads. I think they were double-digit point spreads, but they were like 7.5, 9.5. Look, they held serve. They did what they were supposed to do. And I imagine we can get into this for a longer discussion about it, but I find it laughable that people are that upset about this. Lane Kiffin in particular.
Yeah.
Hey, Lane, how about Ole Miss doesn't lose three games to Kentucky, a very average LSU team, and to a 5-5 at the time, a 5-5 Florida team? Congratulations, you beat one of the big dogs, but you lost to those three. You don't belong in there. Shut up.
248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. We got a Colin in Ray Township. Hello, Colin.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good, Colin.
About that play with Goff, I woke up this morning looking for my daily dose of Dan Campbell talking in the locker room, you know?
Yeah.
And I seen a guy do a side-by-side where Jordan Love fumbled the football. Yeah. It bounced back to him. And he throws a dot to Ferguson almost for a touchdown when they played the Bears.
Yep.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that's got to be where he got the idea from, right? Like, that's exactly what they did.
It very well could be.
Seen that before.
It was, yeah. No, that's they admitted that afterwards, that they saw Jordan Love last year.
Oh, so they didn't.
Literally fumble the ball and picking it back up and throwing it for a touchdown. But it was a legitimate fumble. So that's where Ben Johnson got the inspiration.
Okay, I didn't hear him say that's where he got it from, but then I saw it. I'm like, that's got to be where he got it from.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it, that you take a play like that and you turn it into something that you do intentionally and very, very successfully.
Right, it's crazy to look at and be like, I think we can perfect that.
Right. I mean, that's it. Yeah. That's innovation.
That's great. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I didn't hear him say that, so appreciate the time.
Thank you, Colin. 248-539-9797. So here are the Lions, and I'd say their position gator is strong to quite strong as they go into these last 2 weeks of the season. What do they got? They got a chance to close it out this weekend. We've talked about the scenario. If the Lions win and Minnesota loses, it's a wrap. The Lions will be 14-2. They will have... even if Minnesota wins, the Lions will have a better in-division record because that would be another division loss for Minnesota, which would be the tiebreaker. That even if Minnesota comes to Detroit and wins the season finale, that tiebreaker would be advantage Lions because it would split the head-to-head and the in-division record, that would be the Lions' first loss in the division, and Minnesota would have two, and so the Lions would wrap it up with a win and a Minnesota loss. If the Lions lose and Minnesota wins, then it does come down to the last game of the season. And if they both win, it comes down to the last game of the season. So, look, it's pretty simple. Just win this game and cross your fingers. By the time the Lions take the field, and that's the advantage of playing on Monday night, they will have known if they are playing for the number one seed. And that will be one motivated team that's got the bad taste in their mouth of their last trip to San Francisco, coupled with a number one seed on the line. I figure that will be a tough Lions team to stop. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump votes, get them in. Order your phone calls and feedback. Maybe my favorite part of the game yesterday that was second to the life-saving did take place on the sideline as well. We'll get to that at 10:50 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many different areas of the law. You wouldn't go to a doctor who specializes in all sorts of medicine. Why would you do that with your lawyer? Specialization really matters. Educated consumers will choose Michigan Auto Law. Do your research and learn more at autolaw.com. Once they take your case, they'll communicate with you. They are the best in customer service and satisfaction. White glove service. They care more, so you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. There you go, Dan Campbell, the Detroit Lions, with a definitive win in Chicago, 34-17 over the Chicago Bears. They got the Monday night game in San Francisco now, which could be a chance to close out the one seed. And there you go. Right back on track, I think is a way to put it. I don't know. I don't want to overstate the case, but I think Detroiters feel way better today than they did much of last week. 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your phone calls. Dre is in Detroit, and he is next. Hi, Dre.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you all doing today?
Doing good, Dre.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to both of you guys. And
thank you.
Hope everything is well with your families, all right?
You as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, I just wanted to call. I guess I got to champ the Lions coaching staff. I really like the way that Dan Campbell took J-Mo, after he got that penalty on the sidelines, brought him over, kind of chastised him like a father would do a son, and then came right back, and they threw the big play to him, let him know, hey, you are still part of this team. You are a big playmaker. This is what we need you to do. I really, I like the way that he motivates the guys, even when they make big mistakes. I got to champ the coaching staff for that. And then I got to chump my wife, man. And I thank God she doesn't listen to this show. But, man, oh, my God, I was searching online. Because, she doesn't bother me when the Lions play because she knows that's my team, okay? But when the game ended, they cut it to the Washington game. Well, she wanted me to go and help her, clean the house and this. And I was like, babe, this is football Sunday. Man, I went online and I tried to find the Gator rant so bad because I wanted to play it for her.
That's great.
Man, I searched and searched and I could not find it because I said, you need to hear the Gator rant, babe. I said, because you just don't understand. I said, it's only a few hours over the weekend. I do everything I can around the house, and I found myself getting ready to turn into Gator, and I said, I better catch myself here.
Yeah, you better. That's going to get you further from, my friend.
Yeah. It's all a negotiation. It's all negotiation.
Yeah, it is.
But
yeah, it is. And I'm glad that I did sit down and watch that game because to see Washington pull it out, I think it was like 50 seconds left. Man, that was just so awesome. It just gave me even more, relief. I said, okay, now the destiny is really in the Lions' hands from here on out, I think we really got a strong chance to do it, man. I was, the defense isn't great, but they held their own yesterday, I think they can do well in San Francisco, and I'm hoping Green Bay will show up against Minnesota. So I'm really optimistic that we can still grab this number one seed.
Absolutely. You should be. They're in a great spot. They are in a great spot.
Are.
And it didn't take long for it to get back to where we're feeling good. Now, they got business to take care of still. Season's not over. Things will change again in the next 2 weeks. Something else is going to happen. Maybe it'll be great. Maybe it'll be Alex Anzalone and Derek Barnes back on the field. Maybe it'll swing the other way. But right now, that's why we say it. Seasons are long and things can change. 248-539-9797. Seasons are long. This season's getting shorter.
This is true.
All right, my favorite moment off the field. I got to tell you, I want to sometime in my life get to celebrate the way Antoine Randall L. celebrated the Jameson Williams bomb.
He was pretty excited.
He was so fired up.
He was hopping, skipping, jumping, running.
He was running. He had the great fist pump with the leg kick timed out. I'm like, I couldn't get enough of watching that. And I guess afterwards, Stacey Delves showed Jameson Williams, got his live reaction, showed him the celebration. And I haven't been able to hear what he had to say. I could just see it on my computer. It has no volume here in studio. And he's loving it. And it was just authentic joy, man. Authentic joy.
Yeah. It was special. I mean, those are his guys, right? The wide receiver room and wants to see them succeed. And when you get to unlock what Jameson Williams is, which is faster than just about everybody in the National Football League. We've known it. We've been waiting to see it on display exactly like that. We've seen it where it's, hey, we got a 40-yard pass here or, hey, a 50-yard pass downfield. But this was 82-yard touchdown pass. Goff steps up into the pocket. It's just a perfect setup. He's able to – the pressure's coming, steps up out of the pressure, heaves it as far as he can, straight down in a post pattern and hits him in stride. And you're not going to catch him. He already had three steps on the defenders and just runs in the end zone effortlessly. It was beautiful.
The Randall L. excitement is like, it's like father son when he saw J-Mo catch that and run away with it, because that it's different than just, of course, all the receivers are his guys. You know, sure. I mean, he coaches them every day. He's happy for all of them, but it was different when it was J-Mo out there, especially after the penalty and all that stuff. Go out there, hit that bomb in stride, catch it, score. It was like a dad watching his kid. And say what you want about Jameson Williams, him, you know, he's an adult and all that stuff, but he's youthful. And that's organic. Like, he is a youthful, joy, young player in this league who's having legit fun. And he's all smiles, and when he interviews after the game and things like that, I mean, he's just, you can tell he's a kid at heart still. And so I think when Randall L. sees him growing in front of him and maturing and developing as a player, that's why he gets so excited, you know? And that was so fun to watch him on the sidelines.
It was authentic, yep. Man. It was a really great moment. Now, J-Mo gets the personal foul again. He gets talked to by Dan Campbell. We had that brought up by a listener. You know, you just never want one of those to really cost the Lions. And we don't know the whole story. And Ken, you pointed out that the last time they played the Bears and he got the personal foul on the sidelines, who was the player he was in?
Stevenson. Yeah.
He got fined. Stevenson got fined $10,000 for tripping up J-Mo, which is something I did not realize. So they've got some back and forth. It was the same guy. You don't know what was said or what was done. I would say to J-Mo, your head coach keeps going to bat for you in these situations, and he's awesome for it. But reward him. Make sure you reward him. I have no problem with coaches handle.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Things, how they're going to handle them. But if you go to bat for a guy a couple times and that guy lets you down, you make your coach look bad. And he's your guy, man. He is totally defending you. It's no big deal, again, but I'm a little fearful.
Well, I was too when I saw that, and I'm like, oh, that's not it. Because first of all, I didn't think there was anything flaggable. I mean, if you're going to flag him because he spun the ball on the ground, everybody spins it. Why is that taunting, or why is it a penalty? I didn't get it, but whatever. They called the penalty on him, and why? Because it's Jameson Williams, and he's got a reputation now. So he's under heavy scrutiny every game, and he has to know that. So did they, fortunately, the Lions were able to, I think they ended up with a field goal on that drive.
Yeah,
they got points.
They fell 15 yards short of the end zone, and they might have made it to the 14, which I'm not going to say that yardage cost them a touchdown, because you don't know what would happen after the drive, but...
They still got points, but they didn't get 7. They got 3. If they got 7, you would have said, okay, I don't care. But they still got points out of it. And then you wanted to reward the coach? He did on that 82-yard touchdown pass a couple drives later. And, you know, Jameson Williams had a hell of a game, 143 yards receiving.
He was great.
5 catches.
He was great.
And the touchdown. So
again, it's not a federal case. I'm just saying, make sure you reward the coach for defending you. And he does. And, you know, I like the way he handled it. But we don't want it to burn them later in bigger games. Ron is in Warren and next. Hi, Ron.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Ron.
Okay, please don't hang up on me and think I'm crazy.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Minnesota and Green Bay play Sunday the 29th, correct?
Yeah, they play Sunday. The Lions play Monday.
Okay, so by the time the Lion kickoff starts, we're going to know whether Minnesota won or lost.
Yep.
So say Minnesota wins, which sets up for everything to be at the end. What's the purpose of the Lions playing? They start as if they have nothing to gain but everything to lose. If
hold
they get
on.
Somebody
they
hurt.
Do have something to gain. If Minnesota loses and the Lions win.
No, I'm
saying. No, he's saying Minnesota wins. If Minnesota beats Green Bay, he wants to set up the showdown for the last game. So why risk anybody in the game against San Francisco when if you win or lose, it's still going to be a showdown the last game of the season because
and
Minnesota
Washington
would
win. Already
I see what
lost.
You're saying.
I mean, and Philadelphia already lost, so we ain't got to worry about that.
So the San Francisco game under that scenario is somewhat meaningless. And the Lions, if the Lions lose to Minnesota, it wouldn't cost them the 5 seed, which is somewhat meaningful, not too terribly meaningful.
Right. Look, outside the box thinking and trying to rest the players, and I can appreciate that. But I think this is the National Football League, and you're still playing.
Plus, this is my last point, guys. Plus, the Lions got to fly out to San Francisco to the West Coast and fly back. And then next week would be short rest, 6 days instead of full 7. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. I want to get on board, but I can't do it.
I can't imagine the Lions actually doing that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Dan Campbell actually doing that.
I don't know if any team in the National Football League would do that in that situation, but I understand the logic behind it.
I do, too. I don't think I subscribe to it because I don't want to even mess around with that, but it's interesting. 248-539-9797. We'll get to more of your phone calls and feedback, your champ and chump votes. As we continue here on Carson Anderson on another Victory Monday, 97.1.